So if you have been watching the news at all, you've probably seen this video about 400 times. So I'm going to show it to you one more time. But as we watch this video, I want you to think, if you were the driver of this car and you saw this through your front windshield, what would be going through your mind? Let's watch.
Boom!
Oh, can you imagine? You know what that is? You recognize it? That was the meteor that came screaming out of the sky over Russia just last week. It exploded in the air with 50 times the force of Hiroshima. Kaboom! And it blew out glass everywhere. I mean, what would be going through your mind in that moment?
Ah! We're gonna die! It is the wrath of God.
I mean, if that's not fire from heaven, right? Isn't it interesting how we as human beings have a natural tendency to associate God's judgment with natural disasters? Get an earthquake, get a hurricane or a tornado, and we say, oh, see, God's judging that place for their sin. It's just what we do. Well, that's really the tone of what our passage is about tonight. It's the question that we're wrestling with in this text. Is God's judgment? I want to look at what God's judgment is not and what God's judgment is. Let me set the tone to frame this text, okay? It's Luke 13. I encourage you to pull out your Bibles because I'm going to give you a quiz in just a second. Okay, so Luke 13, there's three sections that we read today. The first section is just Jesus walking along, having a conversation with his disciples. So we're going to look at that. And then the second question, this conversation precipitates Jesus telling a story about a fig tree that doesn't bear fruit. So we're going to look at that. And then we come to the end of Luke 13, and we see Jesus pausing and looking at Jerusalem and lamenting for it. And I want to see how these all tie together. And really, the theme that ties them together is this question about God's judgment. So let's look at the conversation. In the first few verses, it starts with the disciples talking. And they say, hey, Jesus, so did you hear the latest scuttlebutt on what Pilate has done? Pilate. Let's just look at Pilate for a second. Okay, this is Mel Gibson's version of Pilate. Christians know Pilate as the guy who condemned Jesus to be crucified. So as Luke is telling the story, this is a foreshadowing of this new character that will come along. But you know, we know a lot about Pilate from history. And one of the things about Pilate, he was the Roman governor over the province called Judea, what we know today as Israel, where the Jews lived. History tells us that Pilate, in his time, had to put down over 60 violent rebellions from the Jewish people. Judea was a hotbed of violence. Not much has really changed in history, but it was like that back then. And Pilate was under extreme pressure from the emperor of Rome. The emperor actually told Pilate, Pilate, if you don't get Judea under control, it's your head. So that's who Pilate is. Now, here's the latest that Pilate has done. So they're walking on this road toward Jerusalem, and the disciples say, hey, Jesus, so Pilate, he took some Galileans, and he slaughtered them and mixed their blood with their sacrifices. Talk about a slap in the face from a Roman to a Jew. So Jesus responds to them. And you can tell his response is he's picking up on the conventional theology. And he says, so let me ask you this. Did that event happen because those Galileans sinned? Now here's my quiz. What is Jesus' response in verse 3? No! That is not why that tragic event happened. And Jesus goes on and he keeps in the same vein, and he says, well, what about this other current event? He says, you remember just recently that this big tower of Siloam fell over and crushed a bunch of Jews, killed them? Was that tragic event because those people sinned? What was his answer? No, it's not. So here's the first lesson that we learn about God's judgment. God is not a petty judge. God is not like those Greek and Roman gods who sits up there with a bolt of lightning just waiting for his people to mess up and says, yeah, pow! It doesn't work like that. You see, the truth is that we live in a dynamic and a complex world. We live in a world where hurricanes happen, where earthquakes happen, where tornadoes happen. And you know what? Those things are actually good things for the environment. We need them. We live on a planet, this great blue marble that we're on, that's flying through space. We pass through clouds of space dust and rocks all the time. Meteors are crashing into our planet on a daily basis. We live in a world where human beings make evil choices and good people get hurt. Our world is messy and complex. And when these bad things happen, they are not God's judgment on sinners. Stuff happens. So that's the first thing that we learn about God's justice from this passage. But then Jesus turns right away and does something really surprising. Look what he says. In both accounts, Jesus says some surprising words. He looks at those disciples and he says, but unless you repent, you will perish just like them. Does that surprise you a little? Does that sound like Jesus to you? You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a threat. Like Jesus is saying, if you do that, I'm going to take you out. So the question is Jesus threatening punishment on his disciples? You know, I don't think he is. I think that Jesus is warning his disciples. There's a difference between a judgment and a warning. You remember what I said about Pilate? That he had to put down 60 rebellions in the region of Judea? Judea are the people of God. Judea is full of those children of Abraham, the family that we've been tracking all through the Old Testament. And do you remember why God chose Abraham and the promise he made to Abraham? He said, Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and that nation is blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And here, Abraham's children are violent and raging in assassination attempts against the Roman Empire. Here's what I think Jesus is saying. Unless you guys change, you're going to die. Is that a judgment or a warning? Let's put it this way. Let's say that you have a friend and her name is Julie. Julie is a lovely girl, young woman. But something happens to Julie, and she gets caught up in the wrong crowd. And Julie starts taking meth. You know meth, right? Methamphetamine. And you see that Julie starts to change. Her behavior starts changing. Her physical appearance starts changing. Have you seen those posters called meth makeovers? I was tempted to show one, but they're so gruesome, I didn't want to put that image in your head. But my brother-in-law in Denver, he's been a detective for years, and he was on the vice squad for many, many years. He showed me his own meth makeover posters that he made, because he would arrest these women, year after year. And each time he arrested them, he would take their picture. And year after year, they became more and more like skeletons until eventually they die. So if you go to Julie and say, "Julie, stop. Stop doing this or you will die." Are you judging Julie? Are you punishing Julie? No. Out of love for Julie, you're warning Julie. You see, that is what Jesus is doing. He's warning Israel. He's telling them, if you don't stop revolting violently against the empire, they will come and they will crush you like a bug. And then he tells them a parable. So the parable goes like this. The parable is different than in Matthew and Mark's version of the parable. He says, so let me tell you, there is this guy who owned a vineyard and he planted a fig tree in the vineyard. And for 3 years, he comes by this fig tree and he's like, where's the fruit? There's no figs. And he's frustrated with his fig tree for not producing fruit. And so he says, cut it down, take it out. And the gardener looks to the owner and he says, no. Give me one more year. Give me one more year. I will cultivate its roots. I will put fertilizer on it. I will help this tree produce fruit. And if after one more year it doesn't produce fruit, then you can cut it down. Now see, that is a true picture of God's judgment. That's a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. God's judgment is long-suffering and patient, because that fig tree is the nation of Israel. We've seen that all throughout the Old Testament as we've been studying it, that Israel has been pictured as a vine, and a vine is supposed to produce grapes. Or it's been a fig tree, and a fig tree is supposed to produce figs. But here's the question. What is the fruit that Israel was supposed to produce? The fruit of the tree of God is love. And I'm not talking about sappy, sentimental, wishy-washy love where like, I love you, you love me. That's not that kind of love. I'm talking about real love. Love that loves the other even when it doesn't make sense. Love that drives through conflict and works it out for the best for all. That's why God planted Israel in the world, so that the world would see God's love and God's justice and taste its fruit. God's people don't revolt violently against their oppressors. God's people pray for those who persecute them. God's people love their enemies. At the end of the chapter, Jesus keeps walking closer to Jerusalem. And he stops and he looks at Jerusalem. And he knows what's going to happen. He's asked for another year to cultivate their roots. But they're not going to change. They are going to continue to repay violence with violence. And the violence will escalate. And then it did happen. 40 years later, the Roman Empire came in and they went to war with Israel. And the Romans crushed Jerusalem. And almost everybody died. And what did Jesus say to Jerusalem? He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you up like a mother hen gathers her chicks. God's heart breaks for the fruitless tree. You see, that is God's judgment. God is not quick to judge. but he does warn. God's purpose is to cultivate the tree so that it will produce the fruit of God's love. You know, as I was meditating on this passage, it struck me. Grace Lutheran Church, our core values that we talk about are framed around the image of a fruit-bearing tree. We talk about how we connect. That means we open our arms and welcome all people, all kinds of people, different kinds of people, because we know that fruit-bearing trees, when they have different kinds of people coming into them, that cross-pollination actually makes them more vital and robust. And so we connect with open arms. And we grow deep roots into Scripture and into prayer, into the spiritual habits, and into the Holy Spirit. And we are nourished by those things. And we equip a strong body. We equip children in the knowledge of God's love and in the Word. And we equip young adults to confirm their faith and become vital adults, faithful people. And we equip families and friendships. And we equip people to fulfill the calling that God has placed in their life, so that we as a strong body can stand against the wind. When it blows against us, we may bend, but we won't break. Those are beautiful things. But imagine what would happen if we stopped there. You see, a fruit-bearing tree does not exist to be a tree. A fruit-bearing tree exists to feed creatures that are not trees. You know what happens when a fruit-bearing tree bears fruit? Other creatures are fed, and the seed is spread. See that little rhyme I did there? See what I did there? Grace Lutheran Church, we are a tree planted in the heart of Andover. And God has planted us here so that we might feed our neighbors with God's love. But here's the thing. You can do good things for your neighbors and still not have love. We are called to love each other, even when we disagree. Free of bickering and backbiting and complaining, but when we have a disagreement, we work it out in the love of God. We are called to love our neighbors, no matter who they are or what they've done. And we are called to love our enemies as God loves us. I think we are a fruitful congregation. I really do. This is Lent. This is that time of year where Jesus invites us to look even deeper, to let Jesus cultivate the soil around us so that we will be fruitful every season. So as we come to this time of communion today, I invite you to just use it as a time where you just open up your heart and let God look and say, God, cultivate me even more. Prune out the parts of my life that aren't bearing fruit. Help me as an individual and we as a community to give the fruit of God's love to everyone. Because that's what we're called to be. Would you stand and let's pray. Lord, what a privilege it is to be the tree that you have planted right here in this place. Help us to stay healthy. Help us to be grounded in your love, to be a strong body. But more than anything, help us to extend your love to all people, that all would taste and see that you are good. We pray these things in Jesus' name.